Hi, Juliet the Rabbi coming to you from New York City, realrabbinyc.com. That's me keeping it real. I'm so excited because I'm really in the countdown now, 5 weeks before my ordination, my smicha in January. And after 7 years of really hard work, and it's just amazing. So I'm here to talk to you about the Parsha. Things are changing a little bit. I'm going to be focusing because I'm involved in this new thing. I'm not going to say too much about it, but it's a new opportunity for me. And it's connected with the health field, healthcare field. And so my blogs, my podcasts, my videos that I put on YouTube, all of it is changing its content slightly. Over the past 2 years, 1 year on podcasts, I have basically been talking about my own life a lot, and my internal struggles, and my life struggles, and the world. And these are going to be a little bit more generic, but I'll still bring in my own self, but probably more having to do with health and my own health challenges over the years, because that's my focus here. So I'll still definitely be real in that way, really authentic. I have 20 plus years of struggles with my health. Since my second child was born, I've had chronic fatigue. I've had chronic migraines. Then COVID hit, and long COVID. So I've had a lot of struggles, and definitely I'll be connecting them in some way, in many ways, with the Parsha and with the characters in the Torah. So on to today's podcast, rock bottom and Vayetze. Yeah, about hitting rock bottom, that Jacob there. God was in this place and I did not know it. When we encounter Jacob in this week's Parsha, he's on the run. His mother, Rebecca, has told him to flee Esau's wrath for having stolen his blessing and his birthright. Jacob has an actual destination this time. He's going to his uncle Laban's house. But he's also without direction. Like, he doesn't really know what's going to happen in his life. Yes, he's been told to find a wife among his uncle's family, but that doesn't mean he knows where he's going and he knows what he's doing. He's just running away at this point. And he's in the wilderness. He lies down to sleep for the night, and he places a stone, a rock, under his head as a pillow. And he dreams, yeah, maybe he's kind of hit rock bottom. And in his dream, there's a ladder standing on the ground with angels ascending and descending. The top of the ladder is reaching all the way to the heavens. Vayachalom vehine sulam mutzav arza v'rosho magia hashamayma vehine malachei Elohim olim veyordim bo. God stands beside him. Vehine Hashem nitzav alav, and speaks to him in the dream, saying, "The land you are lying on shall be for you and your ancestors, who will be numerous as the earth of the dust," as the dust of the earth, earth of the dust of the earth, same thing. "And I will protect you and bring you back here." This is the promised, this is what God has promised. This is the promised land. Jacob awakens and he says, "Surely God is present in this place and I did not know it." Achein yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh ve'anochi lo yadati. Then he's kind of shaken. He's scared. He's frightened. Vayira, vayomer, ma nora hamakom hazeh, ein ze ki im beit Elohim veze sha'ar hashamayim. How awesome is this place? This is none other than the abode of God. God lives here. This is the gateway. That is the gateway to heaven. But before Jacob can return to the land promised by God, he goes on a very long journey. And during this time, he's tricked into marriage and a servitude that lasts decades. Instead of marrying the one he loves, Rachel, Laban gives him Leah. Another one of these trickery little trickery things. And though Torah doesn't say so, we can imagine that he suffers greatly as he waits to marry Rachel. It turns out to be 14 years. First it's 7 years and he gets Leah, and then it's another 7 years and he gets Rachel, and then he's pushed into doing, there's another 7 years. He's tricked into another 7 years of servitude. So it is decades. But the first 14 years, it's Jacob's love for Rachel. And maybe it's the whole time. Jacob's love for Rachel is what gives him the patience to make it through. That's what I think. It seems so cruel. I mean, no one should have to suffer in this way. And in the end, though, in exchange for his hard work and shepherding, he's rewarded with great wealth. He leaves a very wealthy man. The Parsha ends with Jacob fleeing again, this time with his wives and children, away from his uncle's house. I was wondering, isn't it interesting that the Parsha begins and ends with Jacob fleeing and always surrounded by angels? After finally making peace with Laban, because Laban runs after him, and he's like, how could you do this to me? How could you just run away with my daughters? You didn't even let me say goodbye. But Laban is interesting. He has a dream, and God comes to him in his dream, and he says, don't you mess with Jacob. Leave him alone. So he makes peace with Jacob, but he's like, at least let me kiss my daughters goodbye. And they have a meal, and so it ends with Jacob going on his way, and angels of God encountered him. And when he saw them, Jacob said, this is God's camp. So he named the place Machanaim, two camps. In Hebrew, it says, V'yakov halach l'darko, v'yifke uvo, malachei Elohim. V'yomer Yaakov kasher ra'am, machane Elohim ze. V'yikra shem ha-makom ha-hu, Machanaim. These words are used in our liturgy as part of our traveler's prayer. Isn't that a cool thing? These are the words that Jacob says, and he named the place two camps. The camps of God are a multiplicity of the holy illustrated through God's angels. It's funny that you can be in a place and not know that it's holy. We forget that holiness is all around us. Even when we're disconnected from it, holiness is there. The fact is, every place is holy. There isn't a place that isn't holy. Even the dirtiest, darkest, most disgusting place, that's holy too. It's everywhere. We just can't access it all the time. This ladder standing firmly on the ground in Jacob's dream, with its angels coming up and going down to the ground, coming down to the ground and then ascending up to the heavens, it represents our connection to holiness when we feel like we are all the way down here and heaven is all the way up there. Rabbi Shefa Gold, in her book Torah Journeys, says that the ladder is nothing less than the human body. The human body is a channel between earth and heaven. That means that we ourselves are the gateway to heaven. We are connected even when we don't realize it. And we can access that holiness if only we knew it, if only we are aware of it. God does not dwell in any particular place, a makom, a place, as in Yesh Hashem b'makom hazeh. God is in this place, in Genesis 28:16. The implication is that holiness is accessible from wherever we are. Makom is even sometimes used as one of the words for God. Makom, place. Imagine that. Finally, in fleeing, Jacob is running away, not just from a wrathful brother, but from himself. He's turning away, desperately trying to escape a situation he played a part in creating. But he does not change, not yet anyway, even though he has hit rock bottom, it seems. But it's the beginning for him. It's the beginning of an awakening. because in spite of being flawed and in his perhaps state of terror at the moment, at the unknown, he discovers that he is not alone. He hears God's words of promise and comfort, and he feels God's love for him. Perhaps it is God's comforting presence and love that gives Jacob the patience to endure. How often do we run away from ourselves only to find that there we are again, same old person in a different place, in a different relationship, but kind of repeating old patterns? The strength and patience to endure in any difficult situation comes from the love of those around us, which itself is holy. It can also come from the connection to the holy ground under our feet, the earth itself. If we can stop, close our eyes like Jacob did, open to the holiness under our feet and above our heads and all around us, and allow those around us to support us with their love, we can make it through the journey. God doesn't promise the journey will be easy. He just promises to be there with Jacob along the way and to protect him. My blessing is that we stop running and that we find that we all feel accompanied by someone, something, as we walk through the challenges and through the challenging and holy journey called life. Thank you for being with me here today. Shabbat Shalom. And visit my website, realrabbinyc.com. I do spiritual direction. I accompany people on their personal spiritual journeys. If you want to find out about that, go to my website, read about it. You're like, I've never heard of spiritual direction. What the hell is that? Just go to my website and read about it. Yeah, I explain it really well. People have told me that. And, of course, I'm available for weddings, funerals, b'nai mitzvahs, baby namings, brises. Sometimes you need a rabbi and it's not a rabbi who's doing it. Maybe you don't want a rabbi to do a baby covenanting to invite the baby into the covenant. That's what a baby naming is, really. So for all of those life cycle things. And yeah, so see you next week. Thanks for being with me here again today. Shabbat Shalom.